Going on, I choose, and we've been saying that you are free to choose. Man is a free will, free. You can choose to be saved. You can choose not to be saved. And I know that sends a shockwave to a lot of these Calvinists out there, but I'm sorry. If John Calvin were sitting here tonight, I'd tell him you're free to choose. Amen. And with all respect, a great man. But the Bible just makes it clear. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Who are the chosen? Now, we are chosen in Christ. They don't, you know, we are chosen in him before the foundation of the earth. Well, who are the chosen in him before the foundation of the earth? The whosoever wills call upon his name. That's who it is. So you are a sum total of your choices. So whatever you weigh, wherever you are financially, wherever you are spiritually, it's because of choices you made back there. Amen? And so we've been preaching a ton of sermons on choosing and building a library. And, you know, we're recording these messages. And as we counsel people and talk with different ones and they're dealing with something, we can say, hey, here, listen to this message because the Lord will speak to you. Because what I preach tonight, once it's captured, somebody could get a CD of it 30 years from tonight. I have in my library tapes and CDs from the 80s. I have some from the 70s. And those people preaching those sermons back in 1984 had no idea that what they were preaching was going to be listened to and received in 2019. Isn't that the power of the Word of God? Amen. So we've talked about choosing our purpose. We choose love. Pastor talked about that last Wednesday night. I choose great expectations. I choose friends. I choose my friend. He didn't preach it like that, but he did talk about the choose your friends wisely. It could have been one of those I choose, you know, show me your friends. I show you your future. So you got to choose your friends, and I choose fasting, and so many others. And so tonight I want to talk about one of the most important choices you can make, and that is I choose knowledge and wisdom. Say that with me. I choose knowledge and wisdom. Now, I'm going to use knowledge and wisdom interchangeably. There is a slight difference between the two, and that's for another sermon. But when I talk about knowledge, I could be talking about wisdom. When I talk about wisdom, could be talking about knowledge as far as this message is concerned. So they'll be used interchangeably. So with that in mind, I'd like to turn your attention to three scriptures. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 5 and Hosea chapter 4. So if you'd stand with me tonight and we'll read these scriptures and then we'll talk about choosing wisdom and choosing knowledge. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud with me. Proverbs 4 and 7. I'll give you a chance to find it in your Bibles. I still like to look it up in my Bible too. Ready? Read, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now there's a word in there called I choose. Okay? Verse 4, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get it. So you got to make a choice to get it, which means you can choose not to get it. All right? Now go to chapter 5, flip over a page and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 9. If you're there, say amen. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Verse 13, and I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ears to them that instructed me. So here we're seeing the consequences of not choosing wisdom. Now for the final scripture, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. One of the famous scriptures, Hosea chapter 4. You can just jump over there. It says, read those first few words and then we'll pray. My people, read it with me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, tonight, bless the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom and knowledge. Thank you. We have the access to it. Help us to choose it tonight, and God will give you the praise. Touch your servant. May I decrease. May you increase, and we'll give you the glory for all that's done in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you are very sharp tonight. You are sharp. Amen. Amen. Ronald Reagan, one of our great presidents, told the story about a man who was asked, Mr. President, the president asked him, what is worse in our country today? What is really the problems in our country today? Is it ignorance or is it apathy? And the man responded back and said, well, I don't know and I don't care. All right. Ignorance or apathy? And the man said, I don't know. That's ignorance and apathy. I don't care. And we need to know and we need to care. According to our last text, this thing of I don't know, this thing of lack of knowledge, the prophet here lays as the root cause of the problems facing his day. In other words, it was not so much idolatry. It was not so much wickedness. It was not so much forsaking God. That was the problem. But these were the results of one main problem. And what was the problem that was causing the country to go down? What was the problem that was causing the idolatry? What was the problem that was causing the wickedness? The root of the problem was this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. This thing of wisdom and knowledge is available to you. We have access today to documents and opportunities that the world has never seen ever in its existence. If you go back 1,000 years, you could live an entire life and never read one page of one book, let alone the Bible. You would never hear things off of the radio or the television or the internet. And yet today, there is no excuse. We have access, we have resources, we have CDs, tapes, the World Wide Web. We have preaching 3 times a week. We have Sunday school. We have the Word of God. And so we have to make a choice. We can't just go on what we've always known. There's more to be learned. There's more to know. I like to learn more because the more I learn, the more I learn about Jesus. Amen. Because every rock that you unturn, you'll find Jesus. Every page of every book, you trace it back to the story, and somewhere his story will be intertwined. I want you to know he's the wellspring of all knowledge and the wellspring of all wisdom. And God told the prophet Moses, he said, I will use Aholiab. Now, you probably never heard of Aholiab. You've been reading your Bible through this year. You've read about Aholiab. Aholiab was the man who did all the work in the tabernacle and the temple and made the curtains and made the, and he hammered and nailed, which they didn't really use that, but he, just to put it in modern vernacular, and he was the, and God said, I will put into his heart wisdom to do those things. And I want you to know, God puts in the heart of doctors to know how to diagnose and know how to treat. God puts in the into the hearts engineers that can put bridges and elevators and skyscrapers. And God puts into people's heart wisdom. But I will tell you this, it's not more than just in your heart. You've got to put a pencil over your ear. You've got to roll up your sleeves. You've got to ask for, look for, seek for, sit, listen, and learn. Because God's got some things to tell us. And we have to choose knowledge. And we have to choose wisdom. Say amen tonight. I want to give you 3 things. Because number one, point one, there is the danger of not having knowledge and wisdom. Notice it says my people are destroyed. That's a ramification. Ignorance is not bliss. There's some things we need to know that we should know. In other words, their pain, their sorrow, their grief, their punishment, their confusion, their calamity was a result of a lack of knowledge. In other words, their life would have been much different. Their life would have been more blessed. They would have been the head and not the tail. They would have been blessed coming in and blessed going out. They would have been blessed in the city and blessed in the country. They would have had all of these things listed in the book of Deuteronomy if they had obtained knowledge and wisdom that God was wanting them to have. I want you to know something tonight. If you're going to be blessed, how many of you want to be blessed? If you're going to be all God wants you to be, how many of you want to be all that God wants you to be? If you're going to have the life that God wants you to have, if you're going to thrive, I like that word thrive, not just survive, not barely getting by, but to thrive, then you will need to choose knowledge and wisdom. Now, why do people fail financially? Why do people fail financially? Because of a lack of knowledge. They're not using wisdom in their finances, wisdom in their funds. Well, if I can just win the lottery, you know, that'll just solve all my problems. You go to the gas station and you need to get a 42-ounce drink and maybe a cookie or something. And you've had a hard day at work and you're kind of in a hurry to get home. And you stand at the register very patiently. And you know it'll be over in just a second. You know, so it is a gas station, not a bank to apply for a mortgage. So you wait. And then all of a sudden it dawns on you. The person in front of you is getting this ticket, and they're getting that ticket, and then they're getting that ticket, and then they're going to scratch it off, and then the lady's going to run number one through there, and number two through there, and number three through there, and number four through there, and you're like, oh, my brother, just get on with life. Does anybody feel like that with me? You know? I know you're sanctified tonight, but we also get crankified too, just be honest with you. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're giving your money away. And just because you think if you're going to win the lottery. In April the 28th, 1997, lottery millionaire Michael Allen was bludgeoned to death in Lewiston, Maine, in a Lewiston, Maine motel room. On May the 22nd, 1999, Billy Bob Harrell Jr. commits suicide. In June, he had won $31 million in the Texas state lottery. September the 4th, 2001, Patrick Collier randomly wins $1 million at a McDonald's in Holly Hill, Florida. He said, I'm getting a Harley and a couple of houses. 2 weeks later, Collier is arrested for allegedly choking and punching his fiancée in the face. December the 19th, 2001, British lottery millionaire Phil Kitchen is found dead on his couch. He apparently got so excited about winning the lottery, he drunk himself to death with whiskey. July the 11th, 2002, another lottery winner, Dennis Elwell, dies at work shortly after telling a coworker he had drunk cyanide. April the 21st, 2003, $25 million lottery winner Richard Krenzer is stabbed 6 times and his son by someone and his son, I guess for the money. June the 29th, 2003, lottery winner Jody Lee Taylor is arrested in Collinsville, Virginia for attempting to run over a sheriff's deputy. On the night of his arrest, he was driving naked down the wrong side of U.S. Route 58 with his headlights off after having won millions in a lottery. And then finally, I'll just give you this, and there's many, many more up to the current day. August the 5th, 2003, Jack Whitaker, lottery winner, multi-million dollar lottery winner, passes out in a West Virginia strip bar. Before he won the lottery, he went to church every Sunday at a Church of God. After he wins the lottery, he passes out at a strip bar, and a burglar steals a briefcase in his truck that had $545,000 in cash. Why do people fail financially? It is a lack of knowledge and a lack of wisdom. And I just want to say this tonight, and I know there are disagreements on this, but to play the lottery is not to use good wisdom. Well, Brother Ricky, it's for education. How many school teachers do we have, and how many classrooms do we have? I see one here tonight. I knew one was going to raise their hand. How many of you got students in school? You know, yes, you do. You've got students in school. Have you seen many schools that have updated their equipment? Have we added more pay? Have we added more benefits? Has really, now we've had this thing for almost 15 years now that was passed in the middle of the night by a session of the state house and the state representatives, never to the vote of the people. Brother Ricky, you really don't have to preach this. This is controversial. I'm not saying, well, you can have your opinion if you want to, but I'm just telling you, We need to choose wisdom. Getting all $1 million or $20 million is not going to solve your problem. If you can't handle $20, you're not going to be able to handle $20 million. You need to tithe off $20, and then God will bless you, and you can tithe off of $200, tithe off of $2,000, tithe off of $40,000, and God will bless you. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. I choose wisdom and knowledge when it comes to my finances. Can you give the Lord a praise tonight if you've been blessed and highly favored of God? Why do... Oh my goodness. I've done stirred it up tonight, hadn't I? Why do marriages fail? Why do marriages fail? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and 7. Why did the marriage fail? Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to what?
Knowledge.
So, in marriage, there's got to be choosing knowledge and wisdom. And it's an ongoing thing. I told you about the book that I ran across a few weeks ago called The Seven Rings of Marriage. The engagement ring, the wedding ring. Then there's Discover Ring. That is peeling back the layers of my spouse, learning more about my spouse, learning to love them more, and learning what pleases them more. There is Persevere Ring. That is facing the challenges of every marriage, the misunderstandings, and working through them. There is Restore Ring. Restore Ring. That's a powerful ring in marriage. Restore Ring. That's when we fail each other, or there's a crisis, or there's a mistake, or perhaps we've had an argument or whatever. But Restore Ring is a ring of marriage that will keep us through. There's Prosper Ring. That is growing and enjoying each other as God blesses and using our finances together. Financial strength. And then there's Mentor Ring. That is God using my marriage, not just me individually, but us together, to be an influence to the world. So if there's a marriage failure, then there's a failure of one of those rings of marriage. And so we need to learn, and we need to grow, and we need to have knowledge. We need to have wisdom when it comes to our marriage. We need to read good books. We need to listen to good preaching on marriage. John Hagee used to preach on marriage a lot, and he has one of the most thriving churches in America, because people know that we've got to hear that message. We've got to have knowledge and wisdom when it comes to one of the most important factors. You know, the devil is after your marriage. You know that, don't you? You know, the devil don't want you to stay married. You know, the devil wants to put everything down on marriage. You know, the devil wants divorce. The devil wants adultery. The devil wants things that will kill marriage. So, oh God, help us to choose wisdom and knowledge when it comes in our marriage. And one man in a church that I pastored, I said, well, have you told your wife lately that you loved her? He said, brother, I told my wife on the day we got married that I love her. And if I change my mind, I'll let her know. That is not wisdom and knowledge. He was just joking, by the way. You had to know Brother Elwood Carter. He was just one, none like him. Amen. Why are people depressed? Do you struggle with depression? Is it sometimes it could be a physical thing, literally hormone imbalance, but oftentimes it's just a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of knowledge. Proverbs 3 and verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and that man that getteth understanding. I'll tell you what will wipe the blues and the blahs away is learning and growing and gaining knowledge and seeking the Lord. Why does a person, here's one for the record, I don't think it applies a lot here tonight, but why do people get sexually transmitted diseases, STDs? A lack of knowledge. A lack of wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation as you follow me in King James. She seduced him with her pretty speech and enticed him with her flattery. Verse 22. He followed her at once. How? Like an ox going to the slaughter. I mean, this is the picture of the adulteress. And it's not being against women per se, it's just using a woman as this example. But you read the Proverbs, and she puts on the makeup, and she talks the sweet, my husband's going on a long journey, and oh, my bed is just so wonderful. And I mean, it's just, she just does everything. And the Bible says that the man follows her like an ox going to the slaughter. He's like a stag caught in a trap. Verse 23. awaiting the arrow that would pierce his heart. He's like a bird flying. You know what a bird flying into a trap is? The bird sees the food. And the bird lands on that food, and that trap gets that bird, and forever he is gone and in danger. And that's the way it is when there are sexual temptations and we yield to those things and we are allured away. Proverbs 6:29, verse 30, 29 through 30. My Aunt Lola used to tell me this when I was a young minister and a young man. Proverbs 6:29 through 33. So he goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all his substance of his house. Look at verse 32. But whosoever committeth adultery lacks understanding. And he that does it destroys his what? His own soul. Look at verse 33. A wound and a dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. She used to tell me, son, there are preachers preaching today. And yes, God uses them. But they fell and they committed an act of adultery in a weak moment, and it will follow them to their dying day. Yes, God is forgiven. Yes, friend, you must use wisdom in dealing with the opposite sex. You must have knowledge and wisdom of the wiles of the devil and of his allurements and temptation. And this is not just for married people. This is for single people. I tell you from the bottom of my heart, the Bible says it clearly that sexual relationships are only for those who are in marriage. I'm not talking about living together. Living together does not count. Man and a woman sharing a bed outside of a public covenant with God is in sin. And if they die in their sleep, maybe God will have mercy, but I wouldn't want to be there. Well, my son and my daughter, son, and you know, he's living with a person. Well, we love them and we invite them to church and we preach the gospel and they have souls. And I had a couple that lived together, and I'm gonna really be very controversial right now. I know the pastor, he's like, what is he getting ready to say? But you know, if I owned a home, let's say, well, see, my mother, she owns three houses. She's got three houses. We had three. So she lives in the main house. We rent out the other two houses. When my mother passes away and it comes to me, I'm going to tell you something. People are not going to live in my rental property that are not legally married. Now, they might tell me I'm discriminating. Well, I'd rather do without the rent than to provide a place for somebody's sin. And if I have children, come on now, if I have children, And I've had, this is controversial, and I know some of you mean well, but I see parents sometimes, they own a house, and they let their children live with somebody on their own property rent-free. Look, if they're going to live together, that's their choice. But let them go out there in the world and pay their way. Maybe they're having to get up and work and pay the rent. We'll put something into them. We are not to provide. I own those houses. They are not for gay people. They're not for people. And I love gay people. I love anybody. Boy, I'm really stirring it up tonight, ain't I? But I'm just telling you, they're not for people. They're not for heterosexuals to live together. They're not outside of marriage. They're not for sin. They're not to play poker. They're not to go over there and watch pornography. If I can help it, and I can't help what they do when they close the door, as long as they got there. I can't, you know, they're people, you know, they're going to, they're probably, there's, I will rent to sinners, but I'm not going to rent to people who are blatantly living in a sinful lifestyle. They're out. Are you with me here tonight? I'd rather be without the $500 rent than to stand before God and say, why did you make it easy for people to sin? Because sin is what destroys people. I choose wisdom. I choose knowledge. You could hear a pin drop tonight. Why do people sometimes get unemployed? Unemployment. That's a big thing right now. Sometimes it doesn't always apply to the person, but a lot of times a person is unemployed because of a lack of knowledge or lack of wisdom. You've got to be sharp in today's workplace. Amen. You've got to continually learn. I was talking with another pastor whose secretary And this is a big ministry. It's a huge ministry. So I'm not going to tell you who it is. But we're not talking about a little bitty small church where things, you know, people can do stuff. And we're talking about this pastor's secretary has been working there for about 15 years and cannot do Microsoft Office, cannot do Microsoft PowerPoint, cannot do Excel, does not work on computers, cannot put together. And yet I'm like, well, my brother, I said, you know, you've got to have this done. Well, she can't do it. But we're paying her. Yes, we're paying her very good. My brother, be honest with you, she should have took the initiative after work on the weekends to be able so that she's not in a position to have to be, not because we don't love her, not because she's not a godly person, not because she's not a, now I know you people are looking at me strange tonight, but there comes a time, there's this line between stewardship and grace. We show grace and mercy. We'll give you plenty of time, but there's certain, if you're not up on computers and stuff, you're not going to be able to stay in today's work market in a lot of places. Now, it could be an auto mechanic. If you're a good mechanic, you might have learned how to fix that radiator in 1976, and you know how to fix a 1976 radiator, but I'm telling you now, in 2019, the radiators have all changed. You have got to stay on top of this stuff, or you will find yourself without income. Say amen, somebody. I'm telling you. Preachers too. Bro, pastor, amen. I wasn't going to say it, but you just opened up the door right there. We as pastors, man, we've got to stay on top of this stuff. You know, things change. People change. Society changes. Somebody say, I choose. I choose wisdom. No wonder Proverbs 4, verses 7 through 8 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will what? She'll promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Why are so many lives cut short? Why are destinies not fulfilled? Why do churches die when they can be growing? A lack of knowledge and a lack of wisdom. That's the danger. Number one is the danger. Number two, what is the direction? How do we get wisdom and knowledge? Well, we first of all got to understand, point two, we got to understand it's not going to automatically come. You are not going to watch The Price is Right and in that hour from 11 to 12 and get a lot of wisdom and knowledge. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to want it and you're going to have to desire it. Amen? You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to desire. It will not automatically come. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says what? To do what? Proved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You must get knowledge from, listen to this, from someone or something. Say that with me. Someone or something. You've got to get knowledge outside of yourself, wisdom outside of yourself. It is not just going to come to you laying on the bed. It's not going to come to you while you're playing, Uno with a friend. You're not going to get it by just relaxing and just thinking, well, God will help me. The Bible says the same God that will help you says, I'm going to help you like this. I'm going to help you in the sense that I'm going to tell you to get wisdom and get knowledge. Amen. Don't you hate to ask for direction? I do. I do not like to stop and ask for directions when I'm lost. Now, this doesn't happen a lot in today's world because we have those wonderful things called GPSs. Amen. One of the greatest inventions ever, ever made about 10 years ago was those GPSs. You can punch in an address and it'll tell you from right where you are, it'll tell you exactly how to get there 99% of the time. Now, there is always going to be what I do if I'm going on a trip, is I will look at it before I get on the road because there could be some problems and some issues. But the thing is that before that, I used to get lost and I'd rather just try to figure it out. And finally, I'd have to stop and say, where is, and like the grocery store. When I go to the grocery store and I'm looking at a 5-pound bag of sugar, my wife says, go get a 5-pound bag of sugar. And I walk in the front of that grocery store. I have no clue where that 5-pound bag of sugar is. And that is like 16 aisles that way. I mean, going all throughout the store. And do you think I'm going to stop and ask one of those guys, where's the 5-pound bag of sugar? No. I'm going to walk. I'm going to look. I'm going to act like I know where I'm going, you know. Do you need any help? No, I got it, you know. And finally, when I can't find it, I'm going to say, excuse me, sir, can you tell me what a 5-pound bag of sugar is? Is that just, that's just me a lot of times. I hate to stop and ask for directions. And you know what? There's a little bit of that in all of us. Amen. We got to stop and ask directions. We got to be willing to ask people. We got to be willing to seek. We got to be. Benjamin Franklin, you know, I got this note in here. It takes a little bit of humility to actually think we don't know it all. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said, "The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is a knowledge of your own ignorance." Donald Rumsfeld, former Secretary of Defense, said, and I love what he said here. He said, "There are known knowns, things that we know." He said, "We also know there are known unknowns." That is to say, we know there are some things we don't know. And then there are also unknown unknowns. The ones we don't know that we don't know. Did you catch that? Known knowns, unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns. Now, if you ever figure that out, I'll tell you, you'll be wise right there. Amen. Here's another way of putting it. "He that knows not and knows not that he knows not, he is a fool. Shun him. He that knows not and knows that he knows not, he is simple. Teach him. And he that knows and knows not that he knows, he is asleep. Wake him. And he that knows and knows that he knows, he is a wise man. Follow him." Did you catch all that? Amen. Amen. So how does God give us wisdom? How does God give us wisdom for the unknown unknowns? How does God give us wisdom for the known knowns and the known unknowns? I'm going to give you a few things here. Number one, the Word of God. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Very important that you read the Scriptures. And I know that sometimes people say it's hard to read the Scriptures. Do you know how I learned to read the Bible? My great-grandmother gave in our church, the Assembly of God Church in Rocky Mount, when I was just a little boy, 12 years old, they had the New Testament on cassette tape read by Alexander Scorby. And my grandmother gave me a set of those tapes for Christmas. And this was before I got saved. And I would try to read the Bible, and I was 12 years old, and I just couldn't get past those big these and thous and those big intermeddleth and all these concupiscence and all that. I just couldn't figure those words out. I mean, I was just 12 years old. But I would put in the cassette tape, and man, I just read behind the guys. As he read the Bible, I read behind it. And I read the whole New Testament. And I'm going to tell you something. It changed my life. And I could not wait to get the Old Testament. And I finally got the Old Testament on cassette. And every day, I'd cut the thing on, and he would read, and I would read behind it. And I would understand the Scripture. So, you know, there are so many ways. But the Word of God, this book is alive. It is the mind of God. It is the plan of God for your life. You need to get acquainted with the Word of God. You need to underline Scriptures. You need to highlight places. When you read a Scripture, let the Scripture speak to you. And I'll tell you something else. As you journey along, it always amazes me that some things I'm going through right now, I will wind up reading a passage of Scripture just in my daily reading, and it'll be like, oh, this applies to me right now. And so I get wisdom and I get knowledge through the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Not what somebody says about the Word of God. That has a place through teaching and preaching. But I tell you, you've got a direct, I'm telling you, 1,000 years ago, people never owned a copy of the Bible. Never could have the Bible. Never. And today we've got so many versions. We've got so many study aids. We've got so many teachers, preachers, podcasts, downloads. Just even 30 years ago, back when I had the cassette tape, man, that was cutting edge. Cassette tape, glory, hallelujah. But just think how much more we've got since then. You've got DVDs that will read the Bible to you and show you pictures on your TV. There is no way. You say, well, I can't read. There are some people that I've pastored through the years that never learned how to read. That shouldn't stop you, because you can hear somebody read it. By the way, the Bible does say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you don't think that just listening to the Bible, you don't think that's equal to reading? Of course it is. You're hearing the Word of God. I was cleaning the house one time, and and I was just listening to the book of John, and you know, and John chapter. And by the way, I don't listen to the Bible every time I clean the house. That's just one rare time that I was doing that. But I was trying to read through the book of John. Usually when I'm cleaning the house, I'm listening to music so I can stay up and keep going. You know what I'm saying? Or listen to a podcast or a sermon or something like that. But I was listening to Jesus, you know, turn the water into wine, and they ran out of wine. And then Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. And boom, they had all this wine. And the man says, well, you've kept the best to last. And the way it was read to me, I never picked up on it in reading it. But the man was criticizing him. Instead of saying, praise God, thank you, I appreciate that. He was like, well, you just saved the best to last. I'm like, man, he just bailed you out. You see what I'm saying? The word of God just is so alive. And you can catch things from different angles. And from different ways. And that taught me a lesson right there. That even when I do my very best in ministry, there's going to be somebody upset. Because when he did his very first miracle, somebody has something to say about it. Y'all with me here tonight? Now, question. Did anybody ever get that out of that scripture? I doubt anybody. I've never heard that. But I'm just telling you, at that time in my life, I needed to hear that. Because sometimes we do our very best and people misunderstand us and misjudge us. The word of God gives wisdom. Say amen. Amen. Prayer. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack what? Let him ask of God. If you lack wisdom, and I'm telling you, I remember, and I really don't like to use a lot of personal illustrations, but you just might be blessed by them tonight if you can. But I remember I said I was about to take a church in Virginia about 4 years ago, and it's a full-time church. They had a parsonage. It was beautiful mountains up there, and just something just kind of was holding me back a little bit. But I didn't want to make a mistake. I didn't want to miss the Lord. And this was so important. This was a big time and my age and the ministry behind me. And I remember I dropped Darnell off at school. And I found in my car, I went to the hotel, the Hampton Inn in Morehead City. The Hampton Inn in Morehead City, if you park in the back parking lot, it overlooks the sound between Atlantic Beach and Morehead City waterfront. And so you can get a beautiful view. And I sat out there and I remember I prayed. And I do not mean to sound like I'm a holy person. I just took 3 hours. 3 hours. I said, okay, God, the Bishop Dole Marley is going to call me today. And I got to tell him whether I'm going to take the church or not. And I don't really know what to do. And I prayed. Now, folks, again, I'm not trying to make myself look like some great saint or something. I'm just telling you, I prayed for three. This is one of the most important decisions in my life. And I prayed for 3 hours from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And at the end of that prayer, I just, no, not going to do it. And it won't, but 15 minutes later, I got a call from a preacher. He said, Brother Ricky, you going to take that church? I said, Brother, I'm not going to take it. That's good, because I'm going to tell you. And he started telling me some problems that I didn't know about. He said, I'm glad you're not going to take it. You talk about confirmation. Are y'all with me here tonight? Amen. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Don't tell me you're going to marry somebody and you ain't prayed and prayed and prayed about it. Don't tell me you're not going to make a life decision. Well, I'm just going to quit this church. I'm going to go to church down the road because they got more stuff for my children. They may have more stuff for your children, but you better hear from the Lord, because there may be something here that your child needs that they might not get and all of that. And nothing against that. Are you with me? There's a place for you. There's wisdom for you. We've got to pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. And guess what? He'll give to you liberally. He wants you to be wise. He wants us to be wise men and knowledgeable people. He wants us to have answers to the AIDS problem. He wants us to have wisdom for the border wall. There is a word from God concerning the border and concerning the things in our nation. There's an answer for health care and Medicaid. There's an answer. And we as the church don't need to be avoiding political subject. No, we need to be given an answer from the Lord. Amen. With humility. Don't come up and say you know everything, but say, here's what the Word of God says. We pray about it. Amen. We got to have some answers. God wants us to give us an answer. So number three, God gives us wisdom through the counsel of godly. Notice I said through, not just through the counsel of people, but through the counsel of the godly. What does Psalms 1 say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the what? Counsel of the ungodly. I'll just stop right there. There's world's wisdom. There's the counsel of the psychiatrist. There's the counsel of Dr. Phil. I'm not against Dr. Phil, by the way. Sometimes he hits it. The counsel of Oprah and Ellen DeGeneres and The View. People have their, you know, voices, wrong voices. You'll make wrong choices. Say that with me. Wrong voices. Wrong choices. And people who don't have wisdom and knowledge. Someone said, we have learned to travel faster than sound, but we're going faster in the wrong direction. We have accumulated piles of knowledge about the world we live in, but haven't learned any better how to live in the world. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom, by the way. I tell you another way you can learn. This will shock you. It's through your critics. Through your critics. You ever heard of what's called constructive criticism? If you hear that somebody has said something about, when I'm at different places or churches or even at work, and it comes back to me that so and so said something about me. You know what I do? I pray about it. I say, Lord, am I like that? Do I do that? I welcome constructive criticism. I invite people. I've told our pastor to please speak into my life. I want to grow. I want to. There's spot. You know, just in your own peripheral vision, there are blind spots. I can't see my hand right now. I cannot see my hand. Can y'all see my hand? Well, then you can see things that I don't see about me. Amen. And I can see things about Brother Woody that he can't see. Amen. So we learn through our critics. Be humble, learn, grow. And finally, we learn through the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, John 16 and 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you knowledge? Say amen tonight. That's the danger of having no knowledge, the direction on how to get knowledge. And then finally, I want to close the decision once you have the knowledge. Now, once you've got the knowledge, once you've got it, once you've learned it, once somebody has spoken to you, once you've read that scripture, once you've prayed that prayer, and if I'd have prayed that 3-hour prayer, and sure enough, Bishop Noel Marley called me. He called me. He said, well, what's the answer? And I told him no. And I haven't looked back. But if he'd have called and said, now, Brother Ricky, I really need you to take it. And, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I got to have a job. Because, folks, by the way, I'd add the rest of this story. I'm going a few weeks without payroll. And I needed a payroll. Anybody else other than me need payroll? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, you do. Thank you, Brother Woody. I know you're retired, but you still need something coming in. Amen. But he could have said, why don't you do it? He could have urged me. But I had already heard from the Lord. And God had given me the wisdom that I asked for. But now that you've got wisdom, use it. After you've sought for it, after you've prayed for it, then use it. Exercise it. You know, I heard about two football teams. Or I heard about a football team whose playbook was posted on the internet. And the other football team hacked their internet and During the football game, what was supposed to be a rout, this is a true story. I just have not verified which teams they are. They're somewhere in Florida, and I've heard the story, and I know it's a true story, and it's been in the news, and maybe you could Google it. But they stole the playbook of the other team, and during the game, when the team would call a play, the other team knew exactly where everybody was going, and of course, the team with the playbook won. Can I tell you something tonight? We got the playbook right here. We know. Somebody say, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to do that which he's committed unto me. Use that wisdom. If you knew a certain pill would cure cancer, would you take it? Just the knowledge of it's not going to help you. Amen. You've got to ingest it. There's people who know they need to be saved. There are people right now, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to be saved. But just the knowledge of it is not going to save you. You've got to act on that wisdom. You've got to act on knowledge. You've got to choose. Somebody say, I choose wisdom and knowledge. I choose wisdom and knowledge. Did you know you can reject it? You can reject the word. You can reject wise counsel. You can reject and just say, well, I don't, people, blah, 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 blah. You have to receive it. The Bible says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We've got to have an open mind and an open heart. We're not there yet. And we've got to say, Lord, teach me thy way. The psalmist said, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and redeemer. Is there anybody here tonight that's going to want to choose wisdom and knowledge? If you are, would you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. I choose wisdom and knowledge. God wants us to be informed. God wants us to know. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. As I close tonight, and Brother Wilson, if you'll come on to the piano, thank you so much. The following is a true story that is taken from the U.S. Naval Institute. A man was telling what was happening one day in maneuvers when two battleships were maneuvering. They were in a training process. They were at sea, and the seas were heavy, and the visibility was not good, and the captain was there on the bridge and on the watch out to take care of the ship, and a message came. The message came from the man on the lookout, and this is what he said. He said, there is a light bearing on the starboard bow. And so the captain said, is the light steady, or is the light moving astern? The answer came back from the wing, it is steady, sir. So the captain said, signal that ship that we're on a collision course and tell them they are advised to alter their course 20 degrees. So get the picture. Focus real in on me right now. They're seeing a light, sending a message to their battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. Or excuse me, what did he say? He said, this is, the light is steady. And the answer came back. The captain said, send that ship to change their course 20 degrees. So the ship sent a signal, change your course 20 degrees. And would you believe it? The signal came back and said, no, you change your course 20 degrees. And the message, and the captain was furious. He said, I'm in a battleship. Alter your course 20 degrees. And the message came back and said, I am the lighthouse. Change your course 20 degrees. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me real close. Some of you need to change your course before it's too late. You need to change your course because Jesus is the lighthouse. And he signals to us to choose wisdom and choose knowledge, to keep us from the rocks and to keep us from harm. If you'll choose wisdom, if you'll alter your course, and oh, what a blessing it will be. If my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, then my people are empowered and blessed and highly favored with the wisdom and knowledge of God. Would you stand with me tonight and lift your hands up to the Lord as Brother Clark plays here tonight. And thank you, Father, for wisdom. Help us to alter our course. Help us to make the moves. Help us to say yes to you and no to the flesh. Oh God, we give it all to you. Amen and amen. Praise God.
At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart.
That's the lighthouse. That's the lighthouse.
It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy.
I'm happy because I choose wisdom. I choose knowledge. I'm changing my course. Lord, your word.
And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now
some of you need to ask for direction. Some of you need to ask somebody, some preacher, somebody, what can I do to get to the next level? What can I do in my finances? What can I do in my marriage? What can I do in my ministry? Sing it.
At the cross where I first saw the light.
Everyone.
And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there.